You're listening to the Grace Podcast. I'm Pastor Justin Spurlock. I'm so glad to have you listening to this service. If you are in need of grace, you have come to the right place. Today, our sermon is called No More Hate. As we're living in this series of Eastertide, No More Grace, as we learn there's no more scarcity, no more fear, no more holding back, now we get to No More Hate. This scripture text that is before us is full of so many layers of prejudice that are being overcome, overturned for the first century as well as for us today. Philip goes out into the desert because, like all good Bible stories, when God does something new, God does it in the wilderness. God does it in the desert. God does it in the margins. God does it in the place that is not a temple, not a synagogue, not a church, not a holy mountain, but instead out there in the middle of nowhere with the rejected and the despised. He comes across this man from Ethiopia, not Jewish, no, a Gentile, not like my skin, or probably your skin, but black skin. Not someone who is free, but instead a servant, a slave, but not any slave, a slave who's in charge of all of the treasury of the Candace, which is the title of the queen of Ethiopia. So many different pieces all right there. I mean, we could just use all of that piece right there just to get into the diversity of the situation of this text. But the text goes even further and says this is not just an Ethiopian, it's not just a slave, it's a eunuch. Within the book of Leviticus and Deuteronomy, those who were eunuchs, those who had been castrated, usually it was their testicles had been cut off from them or even had been cut open and removed. Sometimes, even within the Roman world, they would actually crush the testicles, okay? They would take these individuals and then sometimes put them into the courts of the queens or put them to be the slave of some slave owner's wife, because then, of course, they couldn't have sexual relations with that wife, that queen, that princess. And then, of course, we'll say mix the seed line for that king, that emperor, right? And so that's how often these eunuchs were used. Now, of course, within the Holy Scripture, Jesus talks about those who are eunuchs by birth, okay? And so eunuchs is this huge term that's not just this intentional crushing or castration that takes place, but also of anyone who's born in some sort of what we would call today a sexual minority, okay? This is someone who either physically they share body parts that we would often associate with male and female types, okay? These are people who would often show what we would consider to be effeminate characteristics. These are people that they literally would castrate. I mean, there's this whole realm that the word eunuch begins to get used of in Greek culture, Roman culture, and even in Jewish culture. And the law of God in Leviticus and Deuteronomy prevents these eunuchs from being able to come into the temple courts. It is and that God abhors that. Okay, so they are rejected and pushed out of the main community there in Leviticus and Deuteronomy. Now the prophets foresee a day and begin to look around their own people who, as the Assyrians, as the Babylonians, as all of these invading armies came in, they would often castrate or crush the male testicles of all of the men. The Jewish people began to find themselves in a situation where most of their men could not come to the temple, could not make sacrifice, could not become before God. So the prophets foresee a day when those who are abiding by the law of God are not only let in, but they're given a piece of the possessions of the future of Israel. And this text right here is living out of that prophetic community, out of that prophetic and hopeful message that there's hope for the eunuchs. Now, for you and I today, where we're living in a world full of diversity, where we're living in a world full of controversy around all kinds of diversity issues, race being one of them, socioeconomics being one of them, the color of skin, it's not just about race, but it's something even deeper than that that's right there. And then, of course, all of our things around sexuality, sexual orientation, gender, transgenderism, all of these different topics come into this text of Acts chapter 8. Now, I'm not going to get into all of this stuff sociologically and psychologically. I want to approach it from the scriptures. I want to approach it from theology and what is our place as the church as we examine all of these things. One, Philip is sent, transported by the Holy Spirit to the wilderness to encounter this Ethiopian slave eunuch. So this one who has no place in the temple and gates of God, God literally transports Philip to speak to him. When he arrives, the eunuch is reading out of the book of Isaiah, clearly a text about Jesus. Like a sheep, he was led to slaughter, like a lamb silent before a shearer. But not only is it about Jesus, you can see the layer there that if we're talking about a eunuch who's been castrated or crushed, in verse 33, in his humiliation, justice was denied him. Like a lamb silent before his shearer, like a sheep, he was led to the slaughter. You can hear the undertones and overtones of this text in relationship to who Jesus Christ is, but in relationship also to who this Ethiopian eunuch is. The grace of a text like this is overwhelming, friends. And then we get to that place where Philip has explained the gospel, the good news to him, started with that scripture and expounded upon it, and they come across water in the desert, enough water to literally be submerged and immersed in, which is a miracle in and of itself. And the eunuch says these words, "Look, here is water. What is to prevent me from being baptized? What is to prevent me from being baptized?" Well, one could easily point to the Old Testament and go, you have no place in the people of God. One could easily point to the fact that he's a slave and go, I don't know if I have the right to baptize you into the church of God. One could easily look at their own ethnic backgrounds, their own racial backgrounds, their own skin color and go, it's going to cause a lot of controversy if we do that. Even if I want to, I'm not sure we're going to actually do that. Maybe you should go down to church down the street that's more like you. But no. That's where it all hinges, friends. That's why this text is such a liberating, resurrected Easter type of text, because friends, all of that gets pushed aside. There is no more hate. There is no more division. There's no more prejudice that's going to break apart the Christian community, the God kingdom oriented around eternity kind of community. Philip takes him, gets off of the chariot. They went down into the water, and Philip baptized him right into the community of God, right into the church of God, right into the gates and the temple of God Almighty, just like that. Breaks through all of the cultural barriers, all the racial barriers, all the sexual barriers, all the gender barriers, all of the things that we use to define and box in our world. The gospel, the good news, breaks through all of that, friends. The grace of God comes down and we answer that question, what should prevent us? What prevents me from being baptized? Absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. What we discover here in this text, friends, is the thing that has prevented people like the Ethiopian eunuch from being baptized has been you and me. It's been us and the ways that we create community, the way that we create definitions, the way that we create laws, the way that we create these invisible and very visible cultural ways of being together that excludes the human beings that God has created, the human beings that God has placed here on this earth who are an object of God's affection and love. You and I are part of human communities that have been preventing people from being a part of community for our entire history. And we like to go around and say, you're in and you're out. I like your skin color. I don't like yours. I like your culture. I don't like yours over there. I like your sexuality. I don't like yours there. Your orientation, good. Yours, bad. That's what human beings have been doing. And friends, it is not the way of God in the world. Instead, God sends Philip to the wilderness. Instead, God sends and literally transports Philip from here to there to all these different people in different places, say, you're included, you're in this, you're part of this good news, eternal life, sort of kingdom, sort of way, sort of community. God breaks through these rules, both written and unwritten. God breaks through all these norms that we have created and defined. God breaks through the walls of hostility and of hate and says, no more racism, no more sexism, no more genderism, no more whatever prejudice you want to define right there. Here is water. What prevents me from being baptized? Absolutely nothing in the kingdom of God. Friends, we are living in an age where we are so desperate to define. And sometimes for very good reasons trying to define. But what we find are undefinable people. People who don't fit into our boxes, who don't fit into black or white, male or female, Christian or unchristian, who don't fit into any of these boxes, that really what we begin to discover is that none of us fit into those boxes perfectly and wholly. There's pieces of us that spill out of all of these definitions, all these norms, all these written, unwritten rules. And that, friends, if we're going to be our whole authentic selves, what we talked about last week, then the gospel, the good news, the grace of God has to break through all of these things. And instead, we hold on to one another. We come alongside one another. We run to the chariot of the eunuch. We run to the chariot of the slave. We run to the chariot of the Ethiopian. And we say, I'm here. What do you need? How can I help? And what we discover the whole time is that this breaking through opens you and me up. It gets us out of our own norms, own rules, own prisons that have been created that don't let us be our whole selves as well. If the gospel comes to the Ethiopian eunuch, then surely it comes to each and every one of us. If the eunuch gets in defying Leviticus, defying Deuteronomy, friends, there is freedom, there is hope, there is grace for every single human being, and all of us get to be a part of the church community and kingdom of God. How do you live out this message today? I want you to go out into the world, a world that's full of divide, a world that's full of psychology and sociology, all doing this together, a world full of racism, a world full of all kinds of debates around sexuality and gender, and I want you to see real life human beings who are hurting and say, there is good news, there is hope, there is grace. Let us be in community together. What is to prevent you from being baptized? Absolutely nothing. That is the word of God for the people of God right here today. Thanks be to God.